Okay, good afternoon. Thank you, as always, to the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring our Men's Afternoon Kollel 3 days a week. It's such a wonderful, beautiful learning, and we're very grateful to them. And a special thank you for this week to Arnold Goldstein, who's sponsoring in memory of Althea Goldstein, Alta Shulamis Bas Baruch, Shaul Halevi, whose neshama should have an aliyah. We are continuing our new series for this year, because I did not get a big response when I asked last time, on contemporary halachic topics, issues of the day. And today we're going to address an interesting one. By a show of hands, who here makes Kiddush Shabbos Day on wine? Who makes on grape juice, or grape juice and wine go together? Who makes on scotch? I understand, you make multiple Kiddushes every week? This is like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting over here. Not that I would ever make a joke about that. Obviously, everything in moderation with care and concern. Bourbon, scotch, whiskey, rye, vodka. I meant a non-grape product. So how many make Kiddush Shabbos Day with a non-grape product? Many. And how much of it do you drink in order to be yotzei that Kiddush? Oh, it's a very machmir chevra. Mamish. Machmir and strong, a very machmir and strong chevra. What a beautiful thing. So that is the topic I want to look at together with you today. The question of what you can make Kiddush on. And if you do make Kiddush on something other than wine or grape juice, how much of it do you have to drink? What constitutes the minimum measure in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush? I know this is the burning question of our time. Okay. So, we know that generally speaking, it's preferable to make Kiddush on wine. The truth is here, we have a big difference between Friday night and Shabbos day. We're short about 10 copies. Anyone have one copy they can lend so we can make more?
Yeah.
Thank you. Big difference between Friday night and Shabbos day. What is the fundamental difference of Kiddush between Friday night and Shabbos day? Good. Friday night, we'll qualify it in a moment. But for the time purposes, Friday night, the mitzvah is Daraisa. Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho. We have an obligation of Zechira. We remember and we create bookends in order to make Shabbos distinct from the rest of the week. So we transition from the weekday into Shabbos with Kiddush at its beginning. And we transition from Shabbos back to the weekday with Havdalah at the end. Kiddush and Havdalah serve as two bookends which separate out and elevate Shabbos these 25 hours from the rest of the week. When it comes to Havdalah, unclear the nature of the mitzvah of Havdalah, unclear if it's Daraisa, Darabanan, whether women are obligated, not obligated. Havdalah is an entirely separate topic. But Kiddush all agree, Kulei Amala Pligi, that Kiddush is Daraisa. There's a biblical obligation to recite Kiddush on Friday night in order to transition, in order to create. Is it Shabbos even if you didn't say Kiddush? Of course. It is Shabbos if you didn't say Kiddush. The malachas of Shabbos and the Kedushas Hayom fall upon you even if you didn't say Kiddush. But there is a din d'oraisa, zochor es yom haShabbos l'kodesho, to say Kiddush Friday night. Are women obligated in Kiddush?
Yes.
How do you know? Because the Gemara says, whoever's obligated in Shamor is obligated in Zohar. The two are two sides of a coin and they go together. If you're obligated not to violate the 39 malachas, the 39 categories of creative labor, we're studying together Sunday mornings in the Smichas Chavir program, Simen Shin Yud Ches, Achuz Bishol. You're obligated to refrain from violating the 39 categories of creative labor, then you're also obligated not only in the negative, but you're obligated in the positive of Shabbos. There are two components to Shabbos. There's the Vishamru, what we can't do. But a Judaism which is based on can't, no, 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 is not a Judaism that is going to inspire, elevate, or going to promise a bright future. So we have both parts of Shabbos. We have the Vishamru B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos, and we have La'asosas HaShabbos. We make Shabbos, the positive, the holiness, the attitude, the philosophy that we bring to the Shabbos that we make. So we have an obligation of reciting Kiddush. So the Kiddush Friday night is a din d'oraisa. I have to make Kiddush on Friday night. Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho. Now the truth is, by the time I come home and say Kiddush, I've already fulfilled that biblical obligation of Kiddush. How did I fulfill it already?
In davening.
In davening. When I sanctified the day and I separated out, I made the day distinct in my davening, I've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush. Rabbi Kiv Eger has a tshuva. Rabbi Kiv Eger says that in fact, if you wish someone a good Shabbos and they say good Shabbos back, they've been yotzei Kiddush, they've been mekadesh the yom. the din d'oraisa, the biblical obligation or responsibility to verbalize and articulate the different status of this day than the ones that come before or after, can even be fulfilled with saying good Shabbos. When I was in YU, we started a couple of chavirim, friends of mine and I started what was a very short-lived journal at YU called Orchos Aliyah. It was all about how to live a life of Aliyah, to be a Ben Aliyah, to be uplifted. And there was a debate in that journal, in an article that was written by my brother and a letter to the editor from my father. They could have just spoken to one another at home, but they chose to use this journal to have this debate, was the following question. We had, back though in Teaneck, there were actually neighbors who were non-observant. I don't know if it's true today anymore. But we had a neighbor who was getting into his car on Shabbos morning while we were walking past him to shul. And the question was, do you say good Shabbos to him? He was a Jewish but non-observant. He might have actually been on his way to conservative temple. Do you say good Shabbos? And part of the debate, I don't know that both parties or either party would still maintain today what they believed then in that debate, but part of the debate was, do you, if you say good Shabbos, are you suggesting to someone who's getting in a car, like that's your Shomer Shabbos even while you're getting in a car? Maybe you should say good morning, not good Shabbos. To which the response was, if you say good Shabbos, he says good Shabbos back. He's Yotzei Kiddush D'Oraisa. Mekadesh today, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, even by just articulating. So the truth is that when we're in shul, we're Yotzei Kiddush. Kiddush ala kos, the notion that you have to say Kiddush on a cup, that's derabbanan, that's rabbinic. The obligation you have to be Mekadesh B'dvarim, that you have to use your words to articulate the difference of this day, to affirm that today is different than those that came before and after, that's what's D'oraisa. Kiddush ala kos, Kiddush on a cup, that is derabbanan. And then it leads to a famous question. The Bir Halacha has a discussion. Who didn't get a source sheet that needs one? Lee will gladly hand them out. But it leads to the interesting discussion, which is that by the time you come home Friday night, you have the following dilemma. You have the following halachic conundrum. You've been Yotzei Kiddush D'Oraisa, so when you say Kiddush on that coast, when you lift the glass and you say Vayera Vayiboker, maybe you don't start there, but you say Yom HaShishi, you are saying Kiddush D'Rabbanan. But you're trying to be Motzei people who need to hear Kiddush D'Oraisa. Wife, children have not yet been Yotzei Kiddush. So someone who's obligated to Rabbanan, can they be in Motzi, somebody who's obligated to Raisa? The Bir Halacha has a discussion. It's not our topic for today. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that there's a difference between Friday night and Shabbos day. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch to begin with. Open up the source sheet, page number 1. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. Simon Ayin Reish Beis, which is really Simon Reish Ayin Beis, but Sif Tes, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. B'makom she'en yayin matzo, in a place where wine is not readily available. Yesh omrim, some say she'mekad shem al sheikhar, that what should you make Kiddush on?
Beer.
Ushar mashkim, or other beverages. Chutz min amayim. How are you going to make Kiddush on water? Why can't you make Kiddush on water? What? Because water is not chashev. Water has no significance. Water is not a beverage. So therefore, in order, the whole idea of Kiddush is that you're elevating and sanctifying the meal. Why do we say Kiddush? Why do we say Kiddush? Zachras Yom HaShabbos L'Kotcher. So again, the rabbis could have instituted, how do you fulfill this biblical mitzvah by saying Kachabas to one another? Kachabas, 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 Yaitse Zayin. But Rabbanan came along and they said, no, you have to go home and make Kiddush. The meal has to be introduced with, why? So this is also, Gil, we learned it together in the afternoon call several years ago when we learned Arvei Pesachim. Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. And a machlokus between the Rashbam and Tosfos over there. Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. Is that a din in Kiddush? Is it a din in Suda? What does that mean? It's Nishken Kiddush. You can't call it Kiddush if it didn't introduce a meal. It's a toast. It's a lachayim. But it's not Kiddush if it doesn't precede a meal. That's one view. Ain't Kiddush al makom suda. It's not called Kiddush if there's no meal associated with it. The other opinion is, it's not a suda if it's not introduced with Kiddush. So what are they saying? Either, both sides are saying, but even more that it's not a meal without introduced with Kiddush. What makes Friday night different than all other nights? What makes every Friday night different than all other nights? We have dinner, and hopefully if you're a good family, you have dinner as a family Sunday night through Thursday night too. So what makes Friday night dinner different? If someone were to walk into your house and see you sitting around the table, hopefully every night you make sure it's technology free. Hopefully every night you make everyone leave their cell phone when you sit around the table. So if someone were to walk in on any night, Sunday night through Thursday night, they would see you sitting around a table with no technology, talking with one another, enjoying each other's company. You would start by washing, everybody would make hamotzi and break bread, and you'd bring out the appetizer. What makes Friday night different? What makes it distinct? What makes it elevated and holy? Is that we do things out of order. Because if I have dinner tonight, I wash and I have bread, and then I have a glass of wine in the context of the meal. But if I introduce my meal with a glass of wine, and I do it out of order, and this is what Tosfos there in Arei Pesach means, why we cover the challah, because we're going to embarrass the challah, because really, strictly speaking, in Hilchos Brachos, first I should make the hamotzi, and then drink the wine. I've reversed it in order to show that tonight is different than all other nights of the week. This is a holy night, this is the Shabbos meal. It's not a vachadika meal, it's not the same thing as a weekday meal. How do I do it? By saying Kiddush before I begin. So if the whole purpose of the Kiddush is to elevate, and the truth is this is not unique to Shabbos. Every Jewish ritual, we elevate with the introduction of wine, a Bori Pri HaGafen. Before Birchas Eirsin, the truth is Birchas Eirsin could begin. What do you have to make a Bori Pri HaGafen? The Chasan and Kala each have to drink, and you got to make sure they have white wine. And every Chasan and Kala wants to know why. It's not a halacha. It's a halacha in, if it spills on your dress, I don't want you getting angry at me. So you have to have white wine. But who said, why do a Chasan and Kala have to drink, and why do you have to introduce it with the Bori Pri HaGafen? Go right to the Birchas Eirsin. We learn this also in the Kol. Is Eirsin a mitzvah? Is it a Hechsher mitzvah? Rambam, Rush, leave all that aside. But however, whatever you say, is it a Birchas HaMitzvah or a Birchas HaShevach? Machlok is Rambam, Rush. Either way, start with the Bracha, the Birchas Eirsin. Why do I have to start with a Bori Pri HaGafen? I make a Bori Pri HaGafen at a Bris. Bori Pri HaGafen, Pidyon HaBen. Bori Pri HaGafen at a wedding. A Bori Pri HaGafen, everywhere I make a Bori Pri HaGafen because that's what elevates. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't make a on water. Because water, does that show any significance to the meal? The whole idea was that you're elevating, you're enriching. Why do you drink water? Because you're thirsty. So if you come to the table and you have a cup of water before you begin the meal, you know what I'm going to say? Not that tonight is different than other nights. You're thirsty. By the time you got to the table, you were thirsty. Only when you do the wine before you make hamotzi is it obvious that there's significance to this. But if you drink water, all that tells me is you were thirsty. All that tells me is that you were thirsty.
If you have no wine, isn't it better to make a challah?
Let's look. So Shulchan Aruch says the following. So if you have no access to wine, then you make Kiddush on beer or some other beverage, but not water. That you don't make Kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, quotes the Rush, who says that at night, if you don't have wine, do not go to beer. After wine, what comes before beer? Bread. Ubaboker yosu tov lekadosh al hashechar. She yavarech alav shahako kodem birchas hamotzi. She yavarech al hapas tchila ein kan shum shinui. V'divrei tam heim. The Mechaber, v'divrei tam heim. You don't find that often in the Mechaber, that he endorses what he just quoted. He quotes the Rush and he says, that's ice gehalten. That's very good. I like that.
Why do you cover the challah?
Why? Hold on. What is he saying? What happens? If I make Kiddush on Challah during the day, what happens? Well, let's put it this way. What's the Kiddush I say Friday night? Either Vayer, Vayboker, or some begin from the beginning of the Pasuk. Yom HaShishi. Then I make the Bracha. And then I continue with the Allah, Bracha Arucha. I make a long Bracha that concludes Mekadosh HaShabbos. So I don't care if I use wine, or if I use bread, or if I use beer, whatever I'm using on Friday night. But it's obvious that Mekadosh HaShabbos, that is for Shabbos. But come lunchtime, I come to my Shabbos table and I have no wine. What would it look like if I said, make Kiddush on bread? What would you say on the bread? Or you'd say, it's hamotzi. In fact, the Gemara in Arei Pesachim there, that talks about Kiddush, calls Kiddush Kiddusha Rabba. Tells the whole story, came in, they said Kiddush, he didn't know what to say. He said, Bari Pere Gafen. He waited, nobody said say anything else. He knew that was Kiddush. Kiddusha Rabba. Kiddusha Rabba is a euphemism. It's like when you call a tall guy shorty. Or a short guy, tall, whatever, stretch. Right, exactly. So Kiddusha Rabba means the grand Kiddush. And what is the grand Kiddush? Bari Pri HaGafen. So if you didn't have the wine and you were making Kiddush during the day on bread, the grand Kiddush would be, so someone would walk in with you and you'd say, I don't have any wine, but we're going to begin our meal, our Shabbos lunch, and we begin by washing and saying hamotzi. You'd say, don't you do that on Tuesday for lunch also? Isn't that what you do for lunch on Sunday also? What made this Shabbos lunch? So that's what the Rosh says, and the Machaber likes it. He says, if at night, b'layla lo yikadosh al sheichar ela al pas. At night, use bread. Bread is more significant than beer. So if you don't have wine or grape juice, use bread. And it's still obvious it's Kiddush because it is a prolonged Kiddush, an expanded Kiddush. You're still going to say Mekadosh HaShabbos. But in the morning, where all you're going to say are those words, so better to make a shahako before you wash than to go right into washing, and there's nothing recognizable about the fact that you've done it differently. Now, why is there that difference? Why Friday night do we have the long Kiddush and Shabbos lunch? We don't. All this is to bring you to Siv Katan, the Mishneh Berurah. Look at the Mishneh Berurah, Siv Katan, Chavav. I'm sorry, Chav Zayin. Gam Arosh Svir like Yesh Omrim. Ela Kevin Shapas Bolatzar to the Shabbos Choshev Tzvei Mishaych Alekadosh Bolayla. Dina Yesh Nizor Lechatchila. Shelo Lekadosh Bolayla Ashum Mashka Chutz Min Hayayin O Pas Im Ein Yayin Ba'ir. The Mishneh Berurah paskins that Friday night one should be strict. Wine, if you don't have wine or grape juice, Chala, do not electively make Kiddush on orange juice, on beer, on schnapps, on scotch, whiskey, rye, bourbon, or anything else. The Harbi Gedoli Harishon Machmirim She'enu Yotzi B'Zeh Yidei Kiddush. According to some Rishonim, you can't use Chamar Medina at night. Why? Because again, at night is Kiddush Doraisa. Even if you said Kiddush B'dvarim, but Kiddush Al HaKos is Durabanan, but it's Ke'en Doraisa, that Kiddush Friday night in general is Doraisa. Kiddush during the day is only Durabanan. So during the day, we'll be more lenient and flexible and let you use other things for Kiddush. But at night, which is the Doraisa, wine, if you don't have wine, use bread, and those are the options that are available to you. Good.
He says beer. Maybe it implies it has to be alcoholic. He says orange juice?
No, we're going to keep going. Let's keep going. Now, let's continue. Ala Sheikhar. So he said during the day, it's best to make it on Sheikhar. What does he mean? Look at the Mishneh Berurah Sivkot and Lamed. Four lines from the bottom of the page on page one. If schnapps are better to you than beer, so the Mishneh Berurah here quotes from Achronim, quotes in the Shaar HaTzion, this comes from Achronim, that not only do you have the option during the day of making Kiddush on beer, but you can make Kiddush on schnapps, Yain Sarif, which we'll call scotch, whiskey, rye, bourbon, vodka. Did I miss anything? Brandy, good. Cognac, liquor. We got a long list here. So you can do it, he says, even lechatchila. During the day, it means I have plenty of wine. I have plenty of grape juice. But I prefer a nice Lagavulin, a nice smoky, peaty Lagavulin. I want some Lafroig. So even though I have wine, and even my wine fridge, and I have grape juice in my regular fridge, but lechatchila, b'medina seinu, when these beverages are Chamar Medina, I could drink them. Ah, however he qualifies it. Sheizar likach kos machzik revius v'lishtos menu mula lugmav shurov revius. However, if you do that, you have to know that in order to be Yotzei Kiddush, you have to drink from a cup which holds a revius. How much is a revius? About 3.3 fluid ounces, but according to some, all the way up to 4 ounces. So it's more than a shot glass. 3.3 fluid ounces, or maybe 4 ounces, 5.2. It's a machlokas, depends on machmer and mekel. This is again a derabanan. Maybe you'd be more lenient. Whatever it is, it's much more than a shot glass. So not only do you have to drink from a glass that holds that measure, but then you have to drink malo lugmav, which is rov revius. Malo lugmav means the majority of a cheekful, which we define in halacha, the majority of a cheekful as rov revius. So the majority of 4 ounces or 5 ounces, 3.3 at its minimum, is a lot of... That's a big gulp. That's a big gulp to take in one shot. You may not make it past the gefilte fish. So then the Mishneh Berurah says, what do you do? You have no access to wine, you have no access to grape juice, you have no choice but to be making Kiddush on these other beverages. If you try to drink that amount in that amount of time, you're going to pass out. You're going to be rushed to the hospital. So what do? So Mishneh Berurah says, when you have no other choice, you could be mitztarif. So you make Kiddush on a cup that holds a revius, and then you pour out for other people who in combination, collectively, you'll drink the rov revius together. Together you'll drink the rov revius. Ulainyan made Vashar Shar Mashkamai Mashikasadna the Kaman, Bisiman Resh Tzadivav, Bimishna Brura. Okay? So far, let's go back upstairs. So far we saw the following. There's a difference between Kiddush Friday night and Shabbos lunch, and therefore Kiddush Friday night should be made on wine or grape juice. If you don't have access to them, then you can make Kiddush on bread. Shabbos lunch, you don't have to use, not only do you not have to, you shouldn't make Kiddush on bread, because then it won't be recognizable you're making Kiddush, but rather, you can make it on something else. And not only can you make it on something else, other beverages which qualify as Chamar Medina, Lechatchila, you can even, ideally, make Kiddush on these other beverages as well. However, when the Mishnah Berurah records this halacha, he says that you need to do it from a cup that holds a revius, and you need to drink rov of that revius. And the only time you can rely on splitting it up and then collectively drinking that rov revius is if you had no grape juice or wine. But if you had grape juice or wine and you're choosing to use schnapps nonetheless, then you better have a good liver. Then you better be able to drink that rov revius all on your own in order to drink it lechat chila. Azai shteit, azai zak the Mishnah Berurah. What? Not one gulp. It has to be malo lugmav. You can swallow in between, but it has to be in a certain amount of time. We're going to see in a moment that this is an interesting halacha. The challenge of this halacha applies to drinking scotch and applies to drinking another beverage. Anyone know what it is? For a bracha achrona shayla. Drinking coffee. Who here makes a bracha achrona after they finish a cup of coffee? Who here does not make? All of you are smart. No hands went up for either because you both want to hedge. What's the question of whether you can make a bracha achrona and a cup of coffee? Did you drink the shear in the shear? Why is that a question? Because when you're dying of thirst and you crack open with that great sound a bottle of Diet Peach Snapple and you down the Diet Peach Snapple, you're going to drink it the right amount in the right amount of time. But if you make a nice hot cup of coffee and it's piping, steaming hot to start with, and you're taking tiny little sips, you're not going to drink enough within the small amount of time, and maybe now you don't make a bracha achrona. And there's a whole literature in halacha about this. Because, do you have to drink that all at the beginning? Some say maybe leave over enough at the end that you'll drink the whole measure within the measure by the time it cools. Maybe it has to be at the beginning. Is it enough to leave it till the end when it cools? This is a halacha question about making a bracha achrona. When I was in Gris Kolo, after I got married for 2 years, and Mori Varabir of Shechter is coming to Shabbos, came to Israel in order to go around speaking in yeshivas. So I volunteered and I had the great zchus of going around with him to the yeshivas to be like his shamash. So I remember one of the yeshivas that we went to in Ma'ale Adumim, we went to the Rosh Yeshiva's office before he spoke. And again, it was a great privilege to be a fly on the wall. I was a young guy at the time. And this was what the Rosh Yeshiva, so they brought Rav Shechter a cup of tea. It was the winter in Eretz Yisrael. It was cold and raining sideways and upside down. And they brought Rav Shechter a hot cup of tea. And I guess what Rosh Yeshiva shmooze about when they're in an office is, what do you hold by making a bracha achrona on this hot cup of tea? And that's what they had a whole deal back and forth in that question. So it's the same question you have on schnapps, because it's hard to drink that amount of measure in that amount of time. And a similar question you have on hot coffee and hot tea, that is to do with a bracha achrona. But hold on, I want to go vayter. Yeah, chaviv lo. You have to want it more. Correct. But I think the raya that people want it more is that they're doing it. No, agreed. But meaning, nobody's forcing you. It's not that you have grape juice in the fridge, but somebody's forcing you to make the kiddush on schnapps. If you're making it on schnapps, that in itself is a raya, is evidence that it's chaviv, that you like it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be made, unless your wife likes the schnapps and she's making you do it, but you would rather grape juice, and maybe then you can't lechatchila. But I would say there too, shalom bias is also lechatchila. Now, it's important to remember, if you're making kiddush on schnapps, the bracha is shahako. So some people pour that cup, and then they're so in tune with saying Bari Pirei Gafen, you have to remember not to make the wrong bracha. You can make a lot of mistakes in halacha just by trying to change up this minhag. Hold your questions because I want to get through our material. So the question is, from the Mishnah Berurah it sounds very definitive and conclusive that it is an option, right? Our whole topic is, can you make kiddush on scotch or whiskey, another beverage, on schnapps, on Shabbos lunch? And from the Mishnah Berurah it sounds like, yes, you can lechatchila, if it's chaviv, if it's chamar medina that you like, but the Chavetz Chaim holds, has to be a revius, and you have to drink that rov revius in that amount of time. The question is, what qualifies as Chamar Medina? Is it schnapps? What's in that category of schnapps? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, it's on page 3. And Rav Moshe says the following. Can you make Kiddush Shabbos Day on soda? Why might this come up? Because you're attending the Shul Kiddush and they ran out of the half a bottle of grape juice they left on the beverage table. And all that's left are 30 bottles of soda and you really want to eat Kiddush. So can you make Kiddush on a glass of Diet Coke? Coke Zero, whatever your beverage of choice. Says Rav Moshe, soda is really just flavored water. The truth is that even when you go to a wedding, if you went to a state dinner and you asked for a Diet Coke with ice, maybe the bottle wouldn't be sitting on the table, but you would be served that beverage. The only reason that someone drinks soda is the same reason that you drink water, which is that you're thirsty. Have you ever made an appointment with someone and said, let's get together and talk about it over a cup of soda? Never. You'd never meet someone for a cup of soda. You'd never meet somebody for a cup of water. What do you meet someone for? A cup of coffee.
Wine.
Meet them for tea. Meet them for wine. Says Reb Moshe, if you want to know what qualifies as Chamer Medina, the criteria is simple. If you're drinking it because you're thirsty, that's not Chamer Medina. If you're drinking it, and you would drink it even when you're not thirsty, right? Nobody finishes playing basketball. Nobody finishes a run and says, boy, I could use a cup of coffee. You might say, after I drink a lot of water, I need a cup of coffee. But nobody quenches their thirst with a cup of coffee, and nobody quenches their thirst with a glass of wine, and no one quenches their thirst with a shot of scotch. Nobody quenches their thirst with these other beverages. You use water. You drink these other things because it elevates. So Reb Moshe has defined for us what is the principle, what is the definition of Chamer Medina. Even those who are willing to make Kiddush or Havdalah on sweet tea, I don't think he's talking about Diet Peach Snapple here, but I think he's talking about a hot tea which happens to be sweetened with a cube of sugar. Ayin baruch ha-shulchan, nira shebeti derech ha-olam shemechavdem ha-shosin ze'av she'in tzrichin kol ha-shtos abnei ha-kavod. The Aruch ha-shulchan, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, says the reason tea qualifies for Kiddush and Havdalah is tea meets Rav Moshe's criteria. You don't say, I'm thirsty, I'm desperate for a cup of tea. Again, you would say, I'm thirsty, I'm desperate for an ice cold Snapple. But that's not what Rav Moshe is talking about. He's talking about a hot tea. So you'll say tea is just flavored water like soda. What's the difference if I flavor the water with Coca-Cola's secret formula or I flavor the water with tea leaves? What's the difference? In both cases, all I'm really drinking is water. If I drink fruit juice, at least what I'm drinking is really a fruit juice. If I drink scotch, what I'm really drinking is liquid barley. But if I drink tea like soda, I'm only drinking flavored water. Says Rav Moshe, no, but we're not looking at the ingredients, we're looking at the style of when you drink it. So, soda you drink because you're thirsty. Water you drink because you're thirsty, can't make Kiddush or Havdalah. On those things, that's not Chamer Medina. But tea, good question, good. But tea, v'matirim galachal, what about milk? Can milk be, so can you drink milk? Chalila, you wouldn't be having it as Kiddush because hopefully you're having fleishigs for lunch. But could you have milk for Havdalah? A nice glass of milk to say Havdalah on as Chamer Medina. So what Moshe says, if you go to someone's home and they offer you a glass of milk, even if you're not thirsty, you might drink it because you're schmoozing over a glass of milk, a cup of milk. Maybe, he says, I don't think this would be true in our time, maybe it was once true, that you schmoozed over a cup of milk. Nobody schmoozes. You don't accept the offer of soda or water unless you're thirsty. You might accept the offer of coffee, tea, or scotch Even if you're not thirsty, v'etzem gam b'teyu v'chalav rak b'duchah gadol yish l'smoch alayu l'havdu l'kadosh aleihem. Rav Moshe says the truth is better to avoid it altogether. It's really only in extenuating circumstances that you should rely on the opinion that you can make kiddush or avdala. V'gam b'aruch ha'shulchan kasash rak ne'hatchak yish mekilim ha'tei v'chalav. Even the aruch ha'shulchan, who's the big maker on this, only says to rely on it when you have no choice. But if you have a refrigerator filled with grape juice or wine, you should not rely on it. Especially in our time that Matzah Yayin, and Rav Moshe's time, the wine that you had to drink was like cough syrup and disgusting. And even grape juice was expensive. Today you go to Costco and you can buy grape juice in bulk, relatively inexpensively. So says Rav Moshe, today that you have access to grape juice, today we have access to award-winning wines, do not rely on drinking tea or milk or anything else. Chamar Medina, make kiddush and avdala like a mensch on wine or grape juice the way it was intended. But if chalila someone's in the hospital, or you're at a hotel, or you were traveling and you got stuck on Shabbos, and it was a circumstance where you didn't have access to kosher wine or grape juice, then you could reach for milk. You could rely on the Moshe on milk that even chalustam, and you can do it on tea. Well, in teva chalav ma'adif, he says, so now the choice, you got stuck. You got stuck at a hospital, you got stuck at a hotel, you got stuck on the side of the road, and all you can make kiddush or avdala on is either tea or milk. Which one? I don't know, says Rav Moshe, you can make arguments for both sides. Here's what I do know. Even if you have no other option, no other choice, you cannot make kiddush on soda. Soda, water are out. These other beverages, only in extenuating circumstances. In what order, says Rav Moshe, I'm not entirely sure. So what qualifies as Chamar Medina? Magen Avraham says, so beer we already saw on the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham adds whiskey. The Minchas Yitzchak says liquor or cognac. The Tzitz Eliezer says tea or coffee are good. The Aruch HaShulchan even includes fruit juice. Fruit juice. Maybe you'd get together for someone for a glass of juice. I don't know. I wouldn't. But, right, lemonade. There are juice bars, juice. Okay, it's not the same. You don't necessarily. Right, you might meet somebody at the juice bar for a glass of freshly squeezed juice to schmooze over.
But you would never meet and have grape juice.
Okay, but that already has a different status because it's a great product. It is intrinsically and inherently something which is on its own, elevated. So now the question is, so we saw from Rav Moshe, and I just told you these other tshuvas, whether the Magen Avraham, Minchas Yitzchak, Tzitz Eliezer, or Chashulchan, that other beverages do qualify as Chamar Medina. The question is, how much of it do you have to drink? How much do you have to drink to make a bracha achrona? In what amount of time? And therefore the inverse, how much do you have to drink that qualifies as having made kiddush on it? Mishnah Berurah already told us his opinion. You have to drink it from a cup that holds a revius, significant amount, and you have to drink rov of that revius. Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner on page 4. So Rav Vosner says the following. Ma'at lefnei nisiasi l'chutz l'aretz lanuach k'tzas. A little bit before I left on vacation to America, or to chutz l'aretz, maybe he went to Switzerland, to Schweiz. Kibalti mechtava, I received your letter, v'arini meshiv afa pisha inu machusur svarim. Hinei kvodo niskasha. He says, I'm answering you, even though I don't really have access to svarim, which just makes his tshuvas even more magnificent. So he says, niskasha, you know what's bothering you? B'minaka olam shmekachim b'boker ashar mashkim. The fact that people make kiddush in the morning on other drinks other than wine or grape juice, afa pisha inu chamar medina. Even on drinks which may not qualify as Chamar Medina. And some make Havdalah on beer. I didn't take that poll. How many people here habitually make Havdalah not on wine or grape juice? Anyone here make Havdalah on beer regularly? No, only during... Only on Shabbos Chazon. Motzei Shabbos Chazon. Af pishayayim motzei v'yesh rayin l'rov b'kom makom. So the questioner who posed the question to Rav Vosner was bothered. Why is it that people are electing to ignore wine or grape juice, even though it is so readily available in our time? And why is it when I asked who here makes kiddush during the day on other than wine, 90% of the hands went up? So the questioner was asking about you. Why is it okay that you're choosing to make Kiddush on things other than wine or grape juice, or maybe things that aren't even Chamar Medina? Okay, I don't want to get lost in this, that maybe the criteria for Kiddush and Avdala are not the same. We until now have been lumping Kiddush and Avdala together as if they go together, but it could be that we are more lenient for what qualifies for Avdala than what qualifies for, just like we distinguish between Kiddush at night and Kiddush during the day, maybe we'd also distinguish between Kiddush and Avdala. Skip down to the underline. Vahashta, avolish elos, quod, I'll come to your question. To my time, amikilim is manazeh, came into ikayayin l'rov. Why are people lenient when wine is readily available? Hine gam ani ma'odai niskashti b'zeh. I have to be honest with you. I've also been bothered by this. V'lo matzasi tam hagun l'hanagas hazos. I have not found a justification. I have not found a good explanation. Now, Rav Osner, if it was out there and readily available, he would have found it. He'd know it. Rav Osner was a gom. Rav Osner learned in Yeshivas Chochmei Lublin. You had to know 200 blap al peh to get in. Rav Osner was a great, he was nifter a couple of years ago, was a great, great gom posek, one of the poskei ador, lived in Bnei Brak. So when he says, this bothered me, and I too have looked for an answer, and I can't find one, then you can be rest assured that there's not such an easy, at least, answer out there. He says, however, Kfar Niskasha Keynes, I did find a similar question in the Bach. So maybe the reason that there was this emphasis, or maybe the default or assumption was to make Kiddush on wine, not Chamar Medina, was why? Because they drink wine the way we drink soda.
So they had.
In other words, that was the default. In the time of Chazal, if you came in from playing a great game of basketball, if you just went for a jog, you reached for a bottle of wine, because that was the beverage of the time. In a place where wine was available, they drank wine instead of water. Water was just to hydrate if you were sick. Nebuch, if you were sick, you had to drink water. But the assumption was that when you ate a meal or you were thirsty, you had wine. When he Galila, even though all of Israel was not like the Galilee with so many wineries, so the reason that Halacha sees the default as making Kiddush on wine is not because wine has a more superior status in a hierarchy. The default and the assumption of wine was because that was it. That's what you drank. However, in our time, and again, there's actual literature on this too, how they diluted yayin mazug, how they diluted wine in those days. When we talk about wine, what's the average alcohol percentage in an average bottle of wine, Phil? 12, 13%, right? So is that considered high, low? They diluted wine differently. So it's possible it didn't have the same alcohol level, the same inebriating effect. But today, nishtanu atvoy min yedzeh, gam b'mokam shishchich yayin, lo nasa yayin stam shtiyosam, ele b'nei ha'am, uveprapa achayin b'nei Yisrael, uveferish mahajon l'shar mashkim, v'lo ala yayin. So maybe some people have a glass of wine at the end of the day. I think the American Heart Association recommends it. A glass, everything in moderation, we're very sensitive about that. A glass of wine at the end of the day.
Red wine.
A nice glass of red wine at the end of the day. But, you know, you're going to go out for lunch in the middle of the workday and have a glass of wine, half a bottle of wine, a bottle of wine. If you're not a Frenchman, it's very hard to finish the day after that. So Rav Osner offers a limud zchus and he says the following. How do you understand the chevra? How do you understand that 90% of you raised your hand that you make kiddush during the day on something else? And the answer says, Rav Osner, maybe, as a limud zchus, when was the default that you have to use wine? It's preferable to these other drinks. When wine was what you had. But today, even though wine is readily available, that's not what readily available means. When we use shchiach, it doesn't mean it's available, it means it's preferred. And wine is no longer the preferred drink. It may be preferred with a nice steak, it may be preferred at a nice anniversary dinner, it may be preferred by the Heart Association, one glass at the end of the day. But if you're thirsty, or if you're as a default beverage, it's not necessarily the preferred drink. So Rav Voznar has redefined what the word shchiach means in this context. It doesn't mean that you can't get it. You can go to Costco and buy crates and crates of grape juice. It doesn't mean it's not available. It means, does it play the role that it once played? And may, if you're not moved by that, neither was Rav Voznar, because he himself acknowledges and concedes that it's a limud chus. This is only trying to... Correct. He would say still lechatchila wine, but for those who don't say lechatchila wine, he's explaining why they don't say it has to be lechatchila wine. Good. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Let's see what the Har Tzvi says. Page 5, the bottom left. The Dover Kiddush Ayin, Sheikhar Pachas Miravias. Says the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim. Hinei. Heavy divra prim the godum the kevin the mavarcham la charev as lina basar shir shtil a rov bnei adam. So who adin the mekadshim? He quotes the prim the godum and says the following. The prim the godum says, how much do you have to drink of scotch, whiskey, rye, bourbon, schnapps, cognac, what did I leave off again? Whatever I left off, vodka. How much of it do you have to drink to make a bracha achrona? So the prim the godum says, the bracha achrona is not an objective measure. The bracha of chrona is defined subjectively by the normal manner to drink that drink. It's a big chiddush. So it means to say that when you have to drink a revius to make a bracha chrona, it only means something for which it's normal to drink a revius. But something that it's normal to only drink much less, call it half a revius, that's what you would drink to be mechayev a bracha chrona. So he says, Nartzvi, if that's the case for bracha chrona, then that would also be true for kiddush. He's quoting the person who contacted him. He says, "Docha de Rebbe Megadim de Rebbe Hamishna Lamelach Hilchas Brachos De Lo Az Lina Basa Derech Shtiyas Rav Bnei Adam Shkasa Sham Lichos De Rebbe Amrim Then Shtiyas Kafesh Mavarchan Acharav Af Pishiyish Mitchilas Shtiyat Sofa Shtiyas Yosef Mechtei Shtiyas Ravias Or Yosef Mechtei Achilas Pras Lamarcha Dislay Lamarcha Dislay." He says, however, we reject that Prima Gadim because when it comes to coffee, as we spoke about earlier, it's not normal to drink an entire Ravias of coffee in the amount of time it takes to drink a Ravias because you sip a little slurp of your hot coffee trying not to burn and fry the roof of your mouth. So you like to drink the coffee when it's hot. You made the bracha shahakol when it was hot. You see, if you waited for the coffee to cool down to the point you could drink a revius in the amount of time it takes to drink a revius or the amount of time, bichtei achilas pras, whichever you follow, then you wouldn't want to be drinking that coffee. It's too cool. The whole reason you're drinking the coffee is because you want a hot beverage. It's part of the experience of the coffee is enjoying a nice hot... Why do people drink decaf? It's the experience of enjoying and sipping and nursing on a hot beverage. So you have this question: do you make a bracha achron on the hot beverage? Derech shdiyasa bekach mitzdarif. Hamishnah Melech docha sham devrei midivrei Rambam hilchos shar avos atumma. So the Mishnah Melech rejects that. So some say, but that's the way you drink coffee. So if you drink a hot beverage by slurping and sipping it slowly, so it takes longer to drink the revius than the amount of time it takes to drink a revius, then that's a different definition of the amount of time it takes to drink a revius, and you can make a bracha achrona. And the Rambam rejects that.
So he would say, after if it takes you 20 minutes to drink a cup of coffee...
Well, then you don't make a bracha achrona, because you missed that time. Yeah.
Would.
Well, no, you'd say you don't. But says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I wouldn't compare the two. There, when we talk about a bracha achrona, we're talking about there was a break of time where you didn't gulp in one succession. Fine. And then he continues. And he says the following. It follows the rules of eating. Namely, skip to the other one. Of a bedinya in shechar lekidishvar satazu besimin reshiud daminan visavata zushti ashirhu bchomashu saveya. Visavata. V'achalta visavata uveirachta. So the chiyav uveirachta, this is the Taz. The Taz says, the chiyav uveirachta, which is the mukkar for making a bracha achrona, midoraisa only benching, but midorabanan after anything that we ate. So what obligates you to make a bracha achrona after something that you ate when it qualifies as visavata? You were satisfied. How do you define visavata? Subjectively and different for each thing. And therefore, for Yayin Shecher, for schnapps, you would meet the criteria, the threshold of the Savata, with less than you would meet it for a cup of Snapple Diet Peach.
Wine.
Or Yayin. Im kein Yayin Shecher, Zashir Shalom L'chol Adam, Avshu Pachas Mervish, Shapi Yishlomer, Dechumot Azdin, and Yibroch Achronik, Fianog Baro B'nei Adam, Gam L'gabe Kiddush, Choshev K'mo Revius Mamesh. Says the Har Tzvi, now a different Limud Tzchus. Right, the Limud Tzchus of the Shevet Alevi was why you can make Kiddush on it altogether. Now, Ratzvi Pesach Frank is giving a second Limud Tzchus. Not only that it qualifies to make Kiddush on altogether, but using that smaller shear, the smaller measure. And what's his argument? His argument is, if the Taz says that you make a bracha achrona after you only take one l'chaim, I didn't drink a revius of Lefroiger Lagavulin, so why am I making a bracha achrona only on? So the Taz would say, this savata is subjective. Yeah. Normally you're right. If you're having diet peach snapple, you this savata is not less than a revius in the amount of time it takes to drink a revius. But to be satisfied by Lefroiger Lagavulin, or the drink of your choice, it's in less time. And therefore, if that's true for bracha achrona, says Rav Zipa Zach Frank, it's also, this is extending the chiddush now, applying the chiddush of the Taz of bracha achrona to Kiddush, that even though Kiddush normally requires from a cup that's a revius and a melolugma of a rov revius, but since we're defining the drink differently, you can have a smaller shear. So this is the opinion of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that it qualifies. Rav Shechter brings another suggestion. What?
The Taz
and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank based on the Taz. Rav Shechter has a different. The Marsham also, we probably won't get to it, the Marsham at the end says this is the way it's normally drunk. If this is the way it's normally drunk, then it has a different definition than otherwise. Good. Rav Shechter has an altogether different, fascinating, very, very fascinating. How do you determine what's a food and what's a beverage?
Say again.
How do you determine and define what's a food and what's a beverage?
Generally, you would say that a beverage is drunk and a food is eaten.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Soup.
Is soup a food? Is soup a beverage? Is it an ochel or a mashke? Chicken broth. Chicken broth with no noodles, no lakshin, no matzah ball, no kleinigkeiten.
It's all water.
It's a drink.
Okay. Is that
a drink.
When you have that bowl of soup, do you say I had a drink of soup?
No, because you don't.
Or I ate some soup.
Use a spoon.
Has anyone ever said I drank some soup? I ate soup.
I
ate the soup. You don't eat a drink. You don't eat a drink. So how do you define an ochel? How do you define a mashke? How do you define food? How do you define a drink? So this is in a sefer Bikvei Atzon. Again, the good news is if you don't like it, he'll be here on Thursday and you can talk to him. He says the following. Ulefiza yesh ladin. This is in the middle of Siman Vav. It's in the middle of a whole piece. But we're picking it up in the middle of the conversation. B'mina golem shenogel levar shahakol ayayin shechar. Why do we make a bracha, a shahakol, on schnapps? You know, schnapps are made... Mazonos. Maybe you should be making a mazonos. I am a sefer shara rachamim, hanhagos Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Os mem tesha tama mashanogu harbe lekadosh al kosher yayin shechar b'shabbos baboker b'tofsam shadina kachamar medina. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the prime student of the Vilna Gaon, was very bothered. Why do people make a kiddush on Shabbos day on schnapps, claiming it's chamar medina? V'tama akacha gon Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, alozak imekadosh al marak. That's like making kiddush on soup. Shein din yayin shecher kachamar medina. He held schnapps is like soup. He held that just like you make a soup from solids, but what you did is you cooked the liquid or you extracted the liquid in order to create the soup. What's the difference between a bottle of schnapps and a soup? One's hot, one's cold, but gazpacho is a cold soup. What's the difference? Vanilla perusha bekavanaso, nira lafarish bekavanaso. Api isod shabirarnu. He says, I want to explain based on what we've been developing. Ta hevdel shabein ochel lamashka. The difference between a food and a drink. Einenu talei bezeh im adavar gush o nozal. is not whether it's a solid or a liquid. Ela kol shehu beverage she'omed l'ravas botzim ono dino kamashka. Anything that's a beverage which is designed to satisfy your thirst, that's a drink. Because she'ena omed l'kach dino ka'ochel. So asking then again, is schnapps like an ochel or a beverage? Again, I don't drink soup because I was thirsty. I eat soup because I was hungry. And similarly, I'm not drinking the schnapps because I'm thirsty. Right. I'm having the schnapps. It's a different appetite, but I'm having the schnapps. Well, if he's a nira shafil b'nina shoshosim vodka l'rov, ain't shoshosim osol b'toras beverage. Umemela ain't odina kamashka klal. At shenucha lodin alav shulai dina kachamar medina. El arehu kemarak nozel. Shalafi dina achai adam pasak ha-mishnabura dina ka'ucha v'zu ha-isa kavanas ha-gon b'chaim v'lajan b'ta'anaso. So Chaim V'lajan was saying, since when do you make kiddush on a food? Yain Sheikha schnapps is a food, it's not a beverage. And how do you know whether it's a food or a beverage? Similar to what Rav Moshe's distinction is, do you drink it because you're thirsty or are you drinking it for another reason? To be a beverage, you have to drink it because you're thirsty. If you're drinking it for another reason, it's not a beverage, it's a food. And maybe that was Chaim V'lajan's claim, is why can you make kiddush on schnapps? It's like making kiddush on soup. Again, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's only because we've become used to seeing the scotch as a beverage. But if you're thinking about it conceptually, if you're thinking about it objectively, if you're thinking about it in terms of a process, then it's a very legitimate argument that there's not really that much difference between either the processing of or the role of schnapps or soup. So the kashag lover, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Frimer, I'm sorry, Rabbi Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, I should know that name. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, the Kashag Lover. Kashag Lover was Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He has a Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. The Kashag Lover, Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. Kasav B'tshuva, L'yashad min ha'golim sh'makachem ha'kos k'tana sh'ayin sheikha b'Shabbos b'boker sh'ayin b'arevias. You ready for this? Kasav lo'achiyach sh'ayin sheikha ardino ka'ochel v'asher ha'ken sh'iru b'kizayis v'lo b'arevias. So the Kashag Lover had a big Kiddush. He said, you know why you could make Kiddush on much less than a revias? Because if you're looking at it as a beverage, it's got to be a revias. But if you're looking at it like a michel, like a food, then it only has to be a kezias. So a shot glass is a kezias. In fact, when I tell people who have to eat shiurim on Yom Kippur, I tell them they can eat and drink less than a shot glass. A shot glass is a kezias. So the kashuk lover's big chiddush of the kashuk lover, that the limud zchus on making kiddush on Shabbos day on less than revias is, says the kashuk lover, because you're not looking, it's like, you're looking at it like a food, not a beverage. So you ask, who says you make kiddush on a food?
I don't make kiddush on chicken soup.
Good, you don't make kiddush on chicken soup. Good.
Yeah, they forgot the
good
element that it's not a food.
He says,
because it has alcohol.
And this makes sense, given the, right.
Yeah, but whiskey, I
forgot the most important
element. Okay, good. The last opinion is the Marsham. Page number 8 of Shalom Mordechai Shvadron. And he, in this first paragraph where I underline, Muchach de Kiddush Hayom, Shayotze Bayechiyav Midina, Shashi Ura Kamal Lugmav Kamo Kiddush. And then he continues down. Shotzivel Tamidav, he quotes the Rapshitzu. Shotzivel Tamidav, the Kash Biyom, Ayan Shechar, Atzloch is cotton Kiddush Diyaso, the Ain Sach Shir Kos, that you can drink schnapps. In a shot glass, the way it's normally drunk, and you don't need a measure. Yine shahay lefan of yayin al shulchan, Omar shemachabdeu b'yayin shecher k'day lahoros halacha tamidim. He went so far as to show that he had wine on the table, and he still made kiddush in schnapps in a shot glass, because he so wanted to emphasize to his talmidim that the halacha is even lechatchila you can do it. And he says, "V'kevin d'shtiyas." Next underline, "Kevin d'shtiyas yain sheicher nespashim ma'od v'avichamar medina l'shtos kimap b'fnei kol seuda tzloches cotton." Because the minhag is that you have a little shot, a little l'chaim before you begin the meal. V'kasha l'shtos yosim neichari pusa. You can't drink more than it's hard to drink more. It's sharpness. V'lachin shiur gam le'in kiddush b'kach. V'chein avad huad l'fanai b'shem harebe hakadosh melublin. V'chadayim l'smoch alein b'kiddush hayom v'davka b'yain v'sheicher b'inyan shiur kos. So he too paskins that since that's the way you normally drink it, and we drink it regularly in that way, you are allowed to. So what we saw is the fundamental difference in Kiddush at night and Kiddush during the day, Dereis and Derabonon. We have a lot more flexibility and leeway during the day. At night, the only alternative to wine or grape juice is pas, is bread. During the day, one should not have pas. Why? Because then it won't be recognizable that you did so for Kiddush. Instead, if you're not going to use wine or grape juice, according to the Mishnah Berurah, even lachatchila, you could do it, but you need to drink from a cup that holds a revius, and you have to drink a malolugmav. And according to these other limud zchus, either because it's the way you normally do, or like the Taz, you'd make a bracha achrona, or Rav Shecht, according to the Kashuk Lover, because we're calling it an ochel, not a mashka. So for those who raise their hands, you can continue your family minhag of making kiddush in that way. For those who want to look at the sugya entirely objectively, if you want to be yotze, the most opinions, lechatchila, it seems it's still preferable to do it on wine or grape juice. Have a wonderful day.